being jarred out of that comfort zone really stirred something in me. I had always felt that there was a fire in me, but I didn't know what to do with it. And then when I got let go, I thought, okay, this is your chance. My brother said to me after I got fired, he said, Ashley, you've been released. And when he said that, I knew what he meant. Like a bird from a cage, I had been released.
Welcome to the Rise with Diana podcast, the podcast for working women leaders who are dedicated to doing the greatest work in a sound body, mind, and spirit. I'm Diana Patton, ex-corporate executive and civil rights attorney turned entrepreneur and business coach, helping working women leaders to gain the confidence to speak up and advocate for themselves and take uncomfortable action through daily disciplined practices to experience true life success without sacrificing their sanity. It wasn't that long ago that I was taking things way too personal, secretly having something to prove, and doing my best to fake it like I had it all together. I thought the appearance of success was the glue holding my life together, but it was that appearance of success and hustling to prove my worth that was ruining my life. In this podcast, my goal is to teach you the tried and true secrets of living your greatest authentic life. You with me? Let's get ready to rise. Ashley King, I'm so excited. Welcome to the Rise with Diana podcast. We love Team Rising, actually, because I took some time. Y'all are in for a treat. Because the word rise is all up in Ashley's name in the work that she does. So Ashley, how we like to start off, we just act like we're having a conversation here on the Rise with Diana podcast. And what we want to do is we want to start a little bit. You can tell already in podcast land why Ashley might be here with this thing called Team Rising. But we want to know first a little bit of your background, your family, some of your corporate zhuzhness. You know, whatever that work experience is for you, if not, whatever you have for us to let us know about Ashley.
All right. Well, you know, I kind of consider myself a professional backgrounder for a very long time in my life, whether childhood through my early professional career. I was very comfortable and very happy in the background. Oh. And what I realized from that is that I love being in the background. I love listening and absorbing. And for a long time, I didn't realize the gift in that. And then I came to kind of a crossroads in my life where I started to become uncomfortable. And I realized it was because it was time for me to now step out of the background, out of my own shadow and into the light, which was taking me to the front. And so it's kind of been this beautiful journey of really from being that shy kid and that professional who was always doing things for others to let the spotlight shine on others to then start my own company and then be, you know, in charge of, you know, developing other people's leadership skills while forging my own. So it's been a very interesting journey.
I love that. So you've always felt you wanted to be in the back, but you now feel you're being called to the front. Tell me more.
You know, it's funny. It really happened all kind of on a whim. It was the start of the pandemic, and I'd been working for a nonprofit for 17 years. I'd been remote for 15 years. Uh-huh. Everyone else was in the office in California. I'm in Ohio, remote for 15 years. Most of the people there didn't even know who I was. They forgot about me. And I was okay with that. Mm. I liked that. So in staff meetings, weekly staff meetings, oftentimes I would be forgotten. They'd forget. It wasn't routine to have them on Zoom. So they'd be meeting together and I'd wait to see if someone called me. And usually they didn't. And I was really relieved by that. Mm. Anyway, the pandemic happened. We were having a staff meeting on Zoom, probably the third one where everyone's on Zoom. And right before it started, my boss called me and said, Ashley, I'm not going to be there today. You're going to lead the staff meeting. Mm-hmm. And I had no time to prepare. There was nothing I could do. And so I just thought to myself, well, I'm just going to be me. Mm-hmm. And that was the most meaningful staff meeting we've ever had because it was the most authentic. Mm-hmm. I showed up in my most authentic way. And I asked other people to do the same. And from there on out, I was the one to lead the staff meetings. And then we created this structure. And then staff meetings became this part of our culture that was really designed to bring out our authenticity. And it really enhanced the culture of our entire organization because of the way we did staff meetings. And so my leadership really entry was on a whim because she called me right before the staff meeting and said, you're on. And I said, well, okay. And because I had no time to prepare, it was that idea of saying, you know what? I'm going to be enough. What I'm bringing right now is enough. And then to see it happen, and then to see, like, not only was it enough, it exceeded expectations. Mm. And so that, I feel like, was really a turning point in my career.
Ashley, I hear you. You seem like you were ready. Like, a lot of people who just say, okay, someone says, you lead the staff meeting, most people would be like, what? What do you want me to say? But you were just like, okay. Like, okay, so we got to back that train up. What have you been doing, or what did you do, or how? What are your superpowers? What are some of the things that you know about you? Because you said you like to be in the back, but maybe you were just kind of like, did you feel like, you know, the angels from heaven were like, oh, Ashley, what? Tell us more about that.
You know, I think that I almost liken being a backgrounder to, once a backgrounder steps to the foreground, you're almost like, who is that person like leading the symphony? The director?
Conductor.
Conductor, thank you. You're almost like that because you're seeing everyone in the room. You see that and you see, you know what? I didn't hear you, right? Like, elevate the volume. Mm-hmm. You quiet down a little bit. Let me see. Like, you kind of see, you see the people in the room. And so I think that's what I had been doing. And so I knew the voices that spoke all the time. I knew the voices that hadn't been heard, but also mm-hmm. I developed relationships. Mm-hmm. I'm very relationship oriented. So I did ultimately get to know people really well, and I had the skill of building the connection. Mm-hmm. So I could be that person to say, to understand how to ask the question, to open up the person who maybe isn't comfortable talking all the time, mm-hmm. but who did kind of want to share. Mm-hmm. So I had that skill. And so,
okay.
So
that helps, right? Because most people would freak out, right? In my experience, I think a lot of people really struggle with speaking up or leading or taking the mic if they are more of a background type of person. Would you consider yourself, in a traditional sense, an introvert or an extrovert?
I'm definitely an introvert.
Okay. Well, this is good. So tell me a little bit more about what would you consider your childhood superpowers? What does that consist of?
You know, I was the youngest of four, loved having a big family, loved seeing all my siblings do all the things. I felt like it gave me a lot of courage because I had the privilege of seeing them do all the things first. And so I feel like they really set me up for success because I got to see them, you know, walk through hard things and successes and failures. And then to think, okay, you can still do those things and still make it through. So it was really an advantage to me, I felt like, to be the baby of the family.
Well,
to
that's see them beautiful. Go through those things. That's awesome. So that gives you a different viewpoint.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably played a role in your ability to take that meeting and lead the meeting. So is this what are you doing now? Tell us what work you are doing now.
So at Teams Rising, we support what I call holistic leadership development and team wellness. And so really what I'm really passionate about is supporting people's leadership growth. And when I talk about leadership, I'm not just talking about in the professional realm, because I think that we are moving as leaders in alignment with who we truly are. And that has to happen personally and professionally at the same time. Mm-hmm. I can't show up as a leader in one place and not be able to show up as a leader if I needed to in others. So for example, I feel like I found my voice really late in life, but I found that in the professional area, but also I found that at the same time as I was becoming a mom. And I thought, how beautiful that I have found my voice as a mom. And now I can advocate for this child like no one else on this earth could. Mm-hmm. And so leadership is about knowing when we're going to lean in and being able to do that. And then also know when we're going to hang back because maybe it's someone else's turn.
Yeah. So you went from being in the back to leading a meeting to doing Team Rising, right? And now you're talking about leadership. What was a turning point, or how did you go from, you know, this and now being this amazing mom? Because hello, shout out to the moms in the group. Yay, Jules or Ashley. So think about this. What did you do from leading in the front of this meeting to get to Team Rising? What was the shift for you?
Well, there were a lot of small shifts, mm-hmm. I will say that. And I think the biggest one was I was let go from that job.
Okay.
And I was let go from that job. And the way someone else phrased it, because I couldn't phrase it this way, but they said, you know, you became a disruptor, which is wild to me because I'm a rule follower and I was the quiet person in the background. But what happened was that because I knew everyone on the team so well that I could advocate for them. So I had a seat at the leadership table and I was advocating for a lot of people and it aligned with my values. And so I moved in a way that aligned with my values, which then didn't align with organizational values. Mm-hmm. And I was let go. And it was devastating. I was so hurt. Someone said, do you even know yourself without that job? Because I started that job in my 20s, lost it in my 40s.
Wow.
And it really shook me. Mm-hmm. And being jarred out of that comfort zone really stirred something in me. Mm-hmm. I had always felt that there was a fire in me, but I didn't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And then when I got let go, I thought, okay, this is your chance. Mm-hmm. My brother said to me after I got fired, he said, Ashley, you've been released. Mm. And when he said that, I knew what he meant. Like a bird from a cage, I had been released. Mm. And so it was almost my duty then to figure out, okay, let's see myself fly now. Mm. What can I do?
Yeah.
So that was a major turning point for me.
So you left there and then you decided to do what?
So I could kind of see the writing on the wall with that job. And so I had done some research. Specifically in the area of collegiate athletics, and I knew that there was a need for wellness support and mental wellness support. I'd done a lot of work in programming, and I thought we could take this programming work and apply it to this field. And so I had already done some background research, and then when the time came that I lost my job, I thought, okay, well, I guess I have to put this into practice, and then figured out all the things you need to do to create a business. Mm-hmm. And of course, as you know, it is extensive. And yes. That whole process of setting it up was pretty profound in figuring out what I'm capable of.
Yeah.
You know, like all of a sudden, you are all the roles. You are the accountant. You are the tech support. You are the programmer. You are the public relations person. But I've learned more in the past year and a half since starting my business than I learned in the 17 years at that job.
Wow. So tell us a little bit. This is so intriguing to me because, you know, I'm an athlete, a former college athlete, and I've always known we need more great leadership support as being athletes, being coaches, being in administration. Why athletes? Did you see some kind of like hook? You'd done some research, but what were you seeing in that?
I've always felt really connected to athletics. Mm-hmm. My family is very athletic. We were a really quiet family, but we used sports kind of as our love language.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what we did. It's how we connected. You know, you go play catch in the yard, you go play basketball in the driveway. So I've always felt a strong connection to sports. And also as an introvert, sports are such a beautiful way to connect with other people because I'm not having to have conversation all the time or conversation comes naturally as you're playing the game, playing the sports. So I've had an affinity for sports all my life. And so it was that connection of knowing that, you know what, there's a need in this space. I love this space and I think we can make a difference. And mm-hmm. So I had, you know, the audacity to say, I think I'm going to step in there.
I love that. And since stepping in, what has been some of the things that have brought you so much joy and purpose in doing this work?
I think that for a long time, I really wasn't clear on my values. Mm. Once I became so crystal clear on my values, my life, not just my job, but my life has held so much more meaning to me. And mm-hmm. So being able to move in this work in alignment with my values, which are to inspire curiosity, connection, empathy, and awe, it feels like I'm finally living out that purpose. I'm finally living within that fire that I knew I've always had inside of me because I'm finally in alignment with my values. Mm. So that has been really the most powerful and meaningful thing for me.
I love it. And then how have these, tell us a little bit about like you work with teams or you to work with athletes or tell me a little bit about like what are the outcomes of doing the work you're doing at Team Rising?
Yeah. So I think overall, what we have to say is we design for belonging. Mm. The core, the foundation of what we do is try to build connection, whether that's building one's sense of connection to themselves or sense of connection to the other people that they share a room with, their team. Mm-hmm. So we work with teams, athletic teams, we work with athletic departments, but also literally any group that considers themselves a team or wants to be a team. Mm-hmm. And so the foundation of everything we do, because sometimes we do workshops that are just leadership workshops or wellness workshops or communication workshops, threaded throughout every single one are elements of connectedness. Mm. Because we believe that by the time you walk out the door, whether we're talking communication or mental wellness, by the time you walk out the door, you should feel more connected to yourselves and more connected to other people in the room.
Oh.
So that's really part of what we do is building connection.
Okay, now you know we love that at the Rise with Diana community because we're all about connecting with yourself. And it seems like you've been on this journey. Authenticity, I heard you say. I heard you say that you're someone who really loves to advocate for people, speaking up for them, seeing them for who they are, and having this desire to want to see that come full circle. Have you always, even when you were sitting in the back, thought about this authenticity within yourself? Or how did that come about?
You know, I think that quietly I have, but I think that probably maybe just due to, you know, cultural, societal, family norms, I put that maybe as a secondary value for myself because it was always other people first. But now I've learned to navigate how do I promote myself, how to within the context, like, or rather not losing myself while also advocating for other people. Because before it would always be, I'm doing something for you. Let me just do everything for you without regard to me. Like maybe I'll run myself ragged for you. But now I've reached the point in life where I think I know how to care for myself. I know how to love myself. I know how I am walking in my truth. And so I'm able to be a better advocate because I'm a stronger human in general. So it allows me to advocate better. But I think it took me a while to get there, even if my emotions would have told me before that just being a servant was enough.
Right.
Now I think, and in fact, I'm not a fan of servant leadership. I'm not a fan of that because I think that often, especially women, we are, our culture has told us that we are to be subservient to other people. And I don't agree with that. I think we must take care of ourselves first. So I'm really a proponent of holistic leadership, mindful leadership, not so much as servant leadership.
So you don't think those two can coexist?
You know, I think that they can if it's balanced. I think for because my journey started very imbalanced, I'm always a little hesitant when someone says servant leadership because I think, okay, I'd probably want to unpack that with you a little bit more. What does that look like for you? So I'm not just, I don't want to say that it's a bad thing. I just think it's something to be mindful of. What does that look like for you? And have you lost yourself? Or are you able to maintain yourself in that?
Yes. I think, Ashley, this brings up a really good, you know, question because I think a lot of people, and I believe what I'm hearing you say is that you have to value yourself, right? You have to make certain that you put yourself in the driver's seat. Yet I know in our world, like we push people to be servants, right? To really understand the value of serving other people. So this is a very good point, and I really, really think we all can learn from this, is that you aren't really serving others if you haven't taken care of yourself first, right? And I think what I hear you saying, a lot of people do that, especially women. We don't really take the time to do that. And what I call that is called codependency. Right. I call that codependency because you need affirmation from other people by saying you are, quote unquote, serving other people. What do you think about that?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think that myself and like a lot of us moms out there, I felt like I was probably a better mom, technically speaking, the first 4 years of my kid's life. And then I made the shift in my life because I became very uncomfortable with who I was. I had lost myself. And then I decided, you know what? I'm going to pour into me. And so maybe I'm not as good of a mom as I used to be, but now I'm a better human. And now my kids get to know all of me. And I think that's a gift to them because before it was solely about them and essentially serving them. And now it's about being human together.
And I bet you can be and are the best mom, right? I think that you are best. You are the best mom because being a really great mom means you're doing good for yourself because you're modeling that, right? Because they're humans too. How old are your kids? How old are your kids?
They're 10 and 7.
10 and you are in the fun part. This is a great, great age.
Yes.
That's awesome. Have you had any other turning points in your life that have really made you go, this is so important to me that I need to be able to focus on this to allow myself to be better at what I do.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know, it's funny. So in January, I probably had my biggest work contract that I've had so far. And I thought, okay, this is the turning point for my business. Like I'm about to start cooking now. And then a few weeks after that, I felt a lump in my breast. Mm. And later I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So in April of this year, I had a double mastectomy. And just 4 weeks ago, had my final breast reconstruction surgery.
Oh, wow.
But that that journey really, you know, it had me thinking in this type of way that I never thought before. You know, the treatment options made me think about, you know, what I had to do to extend my life versus the quality of my life. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm only 42 years old. And I'm thinking, I have to make these choices. And I thought it wasn't an existential crisis, but there was existential choices that I had to make.
Right.
That I knew impacted me today, tomorrow, my family. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really meaningful turning point in my life, because I just realized instead of being as future focused as I've always been, I love looking to the future. I love it. It gives me hope. Mm-hmm. I realized I couldn't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. That though my prognosis is great, I just can't plan for tomorrow. I'm planning for today. I'm living for today. Mm-hmm. In my business, in my family, every choice today matters. And there are things that I'd been putting off in my life where I said, no more. Mm-hmm. I have to do that now. I'm not going to wait anymore.
Yes.
And so that has been pretty profound.
Yes. Can we just hashtag that right there? Every choice. This is the now, the moment that we all have to live in. It's so powerful. And yet we just dismiss it. And so I really do believe that these critical turning points really help us value what we need to value in moments, in time that we are at, and to be where our feet are planted, right? To be right now where our feet are planted. So what keeps you centered, focused, balanced in that type of feeling?
Yeah. I am absolutely 100% certain that it is my self-love that keeps me balanced. And I would not have always been able to say that. And that has been a journey as well. But because I love myself enough, I knew that whatever choice I had to make for that cancer journey, I was going to be okay. It might not be okay, but I was going to be okay.
Yeah.
And though I grieved losing, you know, my breasts as part of, you know, our bodies as women, we're told is just who we are as women. This is what we need to have.
Right.
I knew, one, I was grateful that I grieved it so much, because I had fiercely earned that love for my body. Mm-hmm. I didn't always love my body the way I did then, the way I had learned to, but I did then. And I thought, I am so glad I am grieving this because I earned that love. And I am so glad that I have the strength in me to know that I'm going to get through this because I have that love for myself. Mm-hmm. And so actually 5 days before the mastectomy, I had a photo shoot. And I was really excited for the photo shoot going into it. And then the photographer showed up, and she's amazing. But the way I showed up was surprising to me. Mm. And I told her, I said, you know, I'm really grateful for this opportunity, but I'm not sure if I'm showing up for a funeral or for a birth. Mm. Maybe it's both.
Wow.
But I recognized the beauty and the self-love in giving myself that moment.
Yeah.
And giving myself that space to document my body as it was. I wanted that for me. And I also wanted that for my daughter. You know, I have a 7-year-old daughter. And I thought, I'm the woman that she looks to think, oh, this is how it's going to be. And I think I'm not going to be able to show this to her. And it just felt, I don't know if she'll ever want to see them, but it was something that I had to do for me. Because it was both. It was that funeral and it was a birth.
Wow. Wow, that's beautiful. And I'm so glad that you share that with us. Mm-hmm. Because it's something we all have to think about when we go through these stages of life. And I just want to say I'm happy that you have gone through this moment to be the best, beautiful Ashley that you can be. And I know it had to have been challenging, and I'm so grateful that you've come through and you are here right now to speak in this moment, that I know that that will change the trajectory of so many people's lives. And because you've chosen to live in the moment, you said, I don't know if this is a funeral or a birth. I mean, that's powerful. And that blessed my heart. Thank you so much for sharing that. So yeah, now you are doing lots of work to help people rise and helping teams rise. And I have to imagine this experience has really profoundly impacted that work.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm so passionate about supporting women, especially in their self-love journey. And whatever transition period they face, whether it's job loss, whether it's cancer, whether it's relationship status changes, mm-hmm. supporting them and knowing that, you know, it is within them. Mm-hmm. It has always been within them. And mm-hmm. to help them find that, to dial in on their self-love and how to grow that, because mm-hmm. it doesn't happen overnight. But, you know, there's this in the book, Atomic Habits. Mm-hmm. He talks about the idea of, you know, you're sitting in a room, it's 25 degrees, and it's you, and then on the table in front of you, there's two ice cubes. Slowly, 1 degree at a time, the room is warming up. You don't see any change in that ice cube, even as it goes from 25 degrees, 26, 27, 28, you see no changes. At 32, you see the change, that it will slowly start to melt as it gets warmer. But that change was already happening before you even saw it. Mm. And so I think as women, if we could give ourselves grace to say, you know what? Even though I didn't recognize that change, I'm going to take all that lived experience as gain. Mm-hmm. I see that now, right? To give ourselves that grace to say, maybe other people wouldn't see that change now. Mm-hmm. I can look back and I see that that was changing. Mm. And so I want to support women and, you know, everyone on their period of transition, of growth, of rising to that next level of
right. self-love. Yeah. That's beautiful. Wow. I felt all that. And no pun intended on the period. However, I do know what you meant. And if we could have the like rim shot back there on the period part for women. Okay, we're going to laugh because it's funny. But anyways, I'm just so grateful that you are doing this work because the world is better because of it. And I understand that you are going to continue to do so many beautiful things. And as the time of this recording, you and I will be headed to the All Rise Live Global Summit in Chicago. Tell me, and you're going to be coming and participating in this whole experience. What are you most excited to learn and or contribute to this opportunity?
Yeah, I've thought about that. And I think when I think about it, it's more of a feeling. And I remind myself that I am coming with open hands, open arms. Mm. I don't know exactly what to expect, but I know that I'm going to be open to what yeah. it is. And so that's my mentality going in. It's yeah. this feeling of, and I love that because I'm saying, I don't need to get X, Y, or Z out of it.
Yeah.
What I need to get is what I'm going to get. Mm. I'm open to receive.
Are y'all feeling, Ashley? I mean, honk your horn because I'm feeling everything. I feel like what we're probably going to have to do is after we go, we'll have to come back and do another recording to learn about what's been going on with Team Rising. So what suggestion do you have? We're going to wrap this up with a woman is going through a really difficult time right now. She's trying to figure out how to deal with things that you've talked about. Maybe she's having a difficulty on her job. Maybe she's just trying to figure out how to speak up in a meeting and lead from the back or the front. What first thing would you tell her to give her some encouragement?
I would rather see myself fail than see myself fake.
Mm.
So
come
how you need to show up. I think show up how you're supposed to show up in your spirit.
Wow. I need to drop a microphone. Jeez, I'm not going to hit that one. Mark would kill me. Oh, my gosh. That is so profound. Thank you so much, Ashley, because I feel like that is a really, really deep question. And I think often when we live in a state of awareness and we live with this idea that every moment counts and we decide to live for today and not always the future, that little piece right there can make a profound difference. So I'm just hoping that this person, whoever is listening right now, can take that with you today. And if people want to follow up with you and follow you, where can they follow you at?
Yes. So you can follow us on Instagram, Teams Rising. Personally, on Instagram, Ash in the Midwest. LinkedIn, Ashley King. Of course, our website, teamsrising.com.
I love all of it, Ashley. You've blessed us today. And I'm just so grateful that you gave us a little bit of your time. And keep rising. Keep rising to do your great work. And I'm just so, I know, I want to meet your daughter. I want to know more. I can't wait to hear more of your story and sharing it. And I believe that this is for such a time as this, for us to be able to learn from you, Ashley, because you were born in this time, in this generation, for a reason, and we need you. So thank you so much for being here for all of us.
Thank you, Diana.
Awesome. Well, take a moment to like and subscribe. Please follow Ashley. And we thank you so much for being part of the Rise with Diana podcast. See you next time. Thank you for being with me today. If you found value in this podcast, be sure to like and subscribe to be notified of weekly content. You can also learn more and follow along with me on any social media channel and by going to risewithdiana.com.